Matthew 29, verse 10, I think it is. When in doubt, get even. It must say that because we all do it. You see, that's the natural response. Paul says, I've learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation. And this is what we're discussing. We'll come back to Exodus and into Canaan and tie that together and show you how it works. Not tonight yet, but tomorrow or Friday. And we looked very briefly at a passage in Galatians where Paul says that the gospel I'm preaching to you, he said, is not my gospel. It's not human. It's not a human invention. But I was given it by a direct revelation of God. A revelation of Christ. And my question last hour was, what did Jesus tell Paul? And I come very simply to the conclusion, in my heart at least, that what he told Paul was the same thing that he told his disciples just prior to his death. That just prior to the death of the Lord Jesus, he gathered his disciples around him, and in chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 of John, he gives them some last-minute instructions as to what's going to happen when he dies. And mind you, as you read those chapters and read observingly, you will find that they didn't understand one single solitary thing that he talked about. We saw last hour of Peter standing and saying, Lord, I'll lay down my life for you. To which Jesus said, well, Peter, before the day will dawn, you will have denied me not once, not twice, but three times. Jesus went on to say, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be upset about it, Peter. I predicted your failure, but don't be upset about it. And the reason he could predict his failure is because of the predictability of Peter's nature. Peter's nature is like your nature and my nature. Our nature, our heart, as Jeremiah defines it in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart, the real you, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's the way you were born. It doesn't have to be educated at all. That innate nature which is inside you is precisely what Jeremiah and Isaiah and all the other scriptures talk about. That nature is totally without the capacity to please God. You can educate that nature. You can evangelize that nature. You can teach yourself the right things to do, and yet it will never, ever live the Christian life. Why? Because the Christian life is what? It's Christ. The Lord Jesus lived his life. That's the Christ life. The Christ life is the Christian life. He lived it for 33 years. Then he died. But he didn't stay dead. The Father raised him from the dead. He eventually ascended back to heaven. And one day, as according to the book of Acts, he came back in the person of his other self, the Holy Spirit, to take up residence in them. And really, to get that picture, we have to go back to John 14. But let me say in passing, the only person who's ever been able to live the Christian life is Christ. You can't. I can't. And there's no sense asking him to help me live the Christian life because he won't do that. He hasn't come to help your old nature live the Christian life. But now in his conversation with his disciples in John 14:10, well, let's go back and read a few verses before that. In verse 7 of chapter 14 of John, Jesus said this, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Now listen to this. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now can you imagine yourself being one of the disciples, and sitting around and having Jesus say this. You can just imagine that. You're in that little group and Jesus is talking and he says this. He says, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak and the works that I do, they're not mine, but the Father who dwelleth in me, they're His. Would you have understood that? I don't think so, no more than they did. Here is a real flesh and blood person with whom they've had contact for nearly 3 years. Now saying that he's going to die, and in the process of his conversation said to them, don't you know who I am? Don't you know that I'm in my Father and my Father's in me? Don't you know that all the words that I've been speaking, they're not my words? Don't you know that all the works that I've been doing, they're not my works, but the Father who dwelleth in me, they're His. And they didn't know. They hadn't a clue. And he goes on in this conversation, and we go to verse 20. In verses 16, 17, 18, he talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he says in verse 20, at that day to which he refers, there's the day of Pentecost, Acts 2. At that day ye shall know that I'm in my Father. The inference being is you don't know now, but when the Holy Spirit comes, which in essence was Himself, His other self, at that day you shall know that I'm in my Father. In essence He says, I recognize that you don't know it now, but at that day you'll know. And you know what? He says, you're going to know something else. What else are you going to know? You're going to know that you are in me, and you're going to know that I am in you. Now, can you imagine yourself, again, being in that little group and hearing Jesus say this? Talking about the coming of the Spirit. And all of a sudden, he says, at that day, you shall know that I'm in my Father. And you'll know that I'm in you, and you'll know that you're in me. Do you know how much of that the disciples understood? Nothing. Do you know how much the average Christian today understands about that? Nothing. You know why? Because we have been duped into believing that the Christian life is me doing my best for Jesus. We've been led to believe that He's out here holding our hands, helping us get the job done. And we don't have any better sense than to believe that. And we go about our Christian life, give it our best shot, give it all of our energies, and fail and fail and fail and fail miserably. And as a result of the failure, a little five-letter word begins to develop in our lives that begins with the letter G, and it's called what? Guilt. Do you know anything about guilt? In the beginning, the Lord Jesus said to His disciples, and to Paul. He said, Paul, I'm in my Father, my Father's in me. And now that you've had an encounter with me, Paul, I want you to know that I am now living in you. You live in me and I live in you. As you read the epistles of Paul, you realize that over 600 times the Apostle Paul makes reference to the fact of Christ's indwelling. Who told him that? The Lord Jesus told him that. I'm in you, and you're in me. He says, talks about the mystery of the Gentiles, which is Christ, where? In you, the hope of glory. Not beside you, not in front of you, not behind you, not over you, not under you, although He is omnipresent. But where is He? Pardon me? Where? In. Why is that important? I'll tell you why. If the Christian life is going to get lived on this earth, it's going to take Christ. You can't do it. Neither can I. Nor can anyone else. If the Christian life is going to be lived so that other people can see it, it's going to take Christ. Not Christ helping you, but Christ living in you. Now, Having said all of that, I have to admit that though I've told you that, I really can't tell you that. You see, I can verbalize those words, but the verbalization of those words contain a spiritual context, a spiritual relationship, and it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal a spiritual relationship. Let me illustrate. A number of years ago, when I first began to discover that the Jesus Christ of this New Testament was not only alive, but living within me, I had a very difficult time keeping my mouth shut about it. I literally wanted to tell everybody, and did, and became very obnoxious about it. But one of the dear fellows that I wanted to share more than anything with, simply because, not because I felt he needed it, but simply because he was my best friend, was a colleague of mine, another pastor. His name is Dick. We met shortly after I began to discover at a pastor's conference, and we took a little walk, and I said, Dick, you'll never guess what I've discovered. He said, what's that? I said, I've discovered that Jesus Christ is alive and living in me. He said, you didn't know that? I said, well, I knew, but I didn't know that I knew. But now I know. He said, oh, it's a nice day today, isn't it? Now, you don't have to be a college professor to know that he's trying to put you off. And I couldn't understand. I couldn't make him understand. And I was so frustrated. But the next day, having spent some time in the Word that night and discovered some other little wrinkle about Christ living in me, we took another little walk, and I said, Dick, you'll never believe what's happening in my life. My life has been completely and totally revolutionized. He said, oh? I said, yeah, it's just because I've begun to discover that Jesus Christ is alive and living within me. Oh, he said, yeah, you mentioned that yesterday. Boy, it's a nice day, isn't it? So I sort of gave up. A couple of months later, my friend Dick was in the downstairs of his church on a Sunday morning, having prayer with the choir. And when the prayer was finished, the choir came up the back steps of the church and walked out on the platform and into their places in the choir loft. And his assistant and music director came out along with him, and they were ahead of him, and they came out and marched up on the platform. And he closed the door, but he wasn't with them. They turned around, and he wasn't there. And they thought, well, I don't know where he is, but we'll wait a moment. So the organist kept on playing, which happened to be Dick's wife. And she played, and she played, and she played, and no pastor. A minute went by, 2 minutes went by, 3 minutes went by, 4 minutes. No pastor. She's still playing. And after a little while, figure something's wrong. So one of the fellows went back out where they had left him, and they found him in a fetal position in the corner, crying. This is Sunday morning. The morning service is about to begin. And he kneeled down next to his pastor, and he said, well, pastor, what's the problem? He says, I don't know. And crying uncontrollably like a little boy who'd just seen his little puppy smashed by a truck. What would you have done? Well, they finally went in and announced that the church was going to be dismissed. They took Dick off to the psychiatric ward of a hospital and was there for 2 weeks. It wasn't about 3 weeks that I heard about it, so Dick was now out. But when I heard about it, this is my best friend. When I heard about his dilemma, I went to see him immediately. It was about a 90-mile trip, no big deal. I went over and knocked on his door, and he happened to open the door. And when he saw me, he just crumbled. Made his way over to the couch and cried uncontrollably. And I went over and sat with him. I said, Dick, what's wrong? He said, I don't know. We talked all day. And in the process, I shared with him the fact that in spite of any problem that comes our way, no matter what it is, we know that Jesus Christ is alive and living inside. And he's big enough to handle any situation. We had prayer, and I left. Every Monday, for several weeks, every Monday, I made my way over to see Dick. We'd talk, we'd pray, we'd read the Word, I'd share every Monday. And occasionally he'd say, But I don't see the importance of that. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And I said, well, Dick, I can only pray that someday it will. One day I got a call. It was Dick. I said, hello? Dick says, Bob, it's Dick. I said, yeah, hi, Dick, how you doing? He said, I've just discovered something I've never known before. I said, what's that? He said, I've just discovered that Jesus Christ is alive and living within me. I can't believe it. He says, it's the most incredible discovery I've ever made. How exciting. I understand that. Do you know what the sad story is? The sad story is that most of you will never discover that Jesus Christ is alive and living in you. That's a sad story. Oh, it doesn't have to be that way. Because anybody who wants to discover can stop very quietly in his presence and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to teach me what that's about of having Jesus Christ live in me. And he'll teach you. I can't. But he'll teach you. But you see, down through the years, we've been led to believe that Jesus Christ is everywhere but in. He's with. He's around. He's everywhere. He's in front. He's behind. But very few people talk about the fact that he's in. If I have nothing else to say to you, if I could leave one word indelibly impressed upon your mind, it would be that one word, in. 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 Christ lives in you. When you get to your room tonight and the lights are off and it gets quiet finally, I dare you to very quietly in your own heart to say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to trust you to teach me what it means to have you in me. And I guarantee you this. If you ever allow him to teach you about his indwelling, you'll never ever be the same. Never ever. You see, that's what happened to Paul. Let me read for you scripture. I'll tell you where it is when I get through reading. But when he, the Lord Jesus, who had chosen and set me apart even before I was born and had called me by his grace, when he saw fit and was pleased to reveal his Son within me so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles, immediately I did not confer with flesh and blood. Did you get that? He was pleased to reveal his Son in me. Then he says this, for he who motivated and fitted Peter and worked effectively through him for the mission to the circumcised, motivated and fitted and worked through me for the mission to the Gentiles. That's in Galatians 1 and Galatians 2. Somewhere along the way, the Lord Jesus taught Paul about a simple fact that he, the Lord Jesus, was not only alive, but was living in him. And you know what? Paul didn't have any better sense than to believe it. The same Lord Jesus that walked the pages of this New Testament, the same Lord Jesus that was hung on a cross, put in a grave, was raised from the dead, who now is alive, lives in you and in me. Why? Take us to heaven? Nonsense. Just give us forgiveness of sins? Nonsense. Oh, that's included. The reason He's come to live in us is in order that He might begin to live out His life through us. Now the question is, how does that work? So, there's two things that we've discovered so far. As it relates back to Paul's statement, I've learned the secret of how to face every situation. Two things he's learned. Number one, he's learned what it is to be converted. He knows what it is to become a Christian. Secondly, we've discovered he's learned the fact that Jesus Christ is not only alive, but living where? In him. Have you learned those two facts? Been born again, and he's now alive and living in you. But did you know, it's one thing to know that he's living within you, and it's another thing to begin to discover how he lives his life out through you. The reason I'm hesitating here is because the next section is quite a long section, and I don't think we ought to go into that tonight, because I'll have to chop it off right in the middle. So I'll tell you what you do. Do you have any questions about what we've been talking about, either tonight or yesterday, or Monday? Yes. Good question. What do you think? Do you remember what Jesus said in John 14 and John 16 both? He not only talked about His coming back to live within, but He talked about the Father coming back to live in, and the Son coming back to live in, and the Spirit. And in reality, all three are residing within. Whew. That's incredible. I like to put it this way, that Jesus Christ lives in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit's ministry, it is His ministry to visualize or make Christ alive. That's His business. He said in John 16, the Spirit of truth, when He's come, He will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of Himself, but He'll take of the things of mine and reveal them unto you. So the Holy Spirit's ministry, as He resides in us, take the things of Christ, reveal them to us, and ultimately reveal them through us. That's the Spirit's ministry. Synonymously, it is the Lord Jesus at work within us and through us, one and the same. No contradiction. Okay? Let me challenge you tonight again. Not just tonight, but for the rest of the week and in the course of the weeks to come. Write it down in your notebook someplace. Lord Jesus, I'm going to trust You to teach me about the fact of Your indwelling. I'm going to trust You to teach me about that. Okay? Well, I hate to stop right here because it's a little bit early, but the fact of the matter is I'd rather get the other thing in the whole thing. So I don't imagine you would be offended if you were let out a little early. I used to love it. Matter of fact, I guess I used to pray about it. Say, Lord, maybe He forget His notes or something. But anyway, we'll do it. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank You that You've included us. We must admit that we don't know very much about this, but we're learning, and we're going to continue to trust You to teach us what it's all about. Father, to think that the same Lord Jesus that walked this earth, of whom we read about in the Scripture, is the same Lord Jesus that tonight that is not only alive, but living within. And we thank You. Lord, I thank You for this student body. I just commit each one to You and each of their families, wherever they may be. And trust You, Lord Jesus, to allow us as individuals to really discover Christ. Not only this week, but in all the weeks that we're here. So we commend and commit each one to You and trust You for that, for which we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.